I've taken refuge in you, Lord. Don't let me ever be put to shame. Deliver me and rescue me by your righteousness. Bend your ear towards me and save me. Be my rock of refuge where I can always escape. You commanded that my life be saved because you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked. Rescue me from the grip of the wrongdoer and the oppressor because you are my hope, Lord. You, Lord, are the one I've trusted since childhood. I've depended on you from birth. You cut the cord when I came from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. This is God's word for God's people. Yeah. You'll pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Each year, right about this time, we always head into a new season together with God. It's such a joy to, I look out and I welcome some oak folk back from the steamy summer away. We introduce some folks that we've actually gotten pretty close to in the course of this summer. New folks, different parts of oak family growing together. Also, I look out and I see some visitors and newcomers. Some of y'all can count the days, maybe even on a hand or two, of the days that you've lived in Durham. You're in the middle of getting library cards and utility bills sorted out, figuring out how this place works and where you fit. One of the things that is so special about this place is how tied up we are with the school year. And you can look around and kind of to a person say, you are about to go to school tomorrow. Or some of you, you've been in school for about 3 weeks. I can see it on your face. Or you are just coming out of a season at school and remarking how great and how different it is that you are not in school anymore. Maybe you're teaching school or coaching. Maybe you're sending a child into it. Or, praise God, maybe you're just part of one of all of us walking in community alongside someone who is starting an academic year from preschool to grad school. That's what makes this time, this season, these just few days and weeks so full. I think you can kind of walk around and sense it. You can feel it. It is full of anticipation. It is full of anxiety. It is the good, it is bad, it is all together. It is really full. It's dense. It's rich. We've spent some time today leaning into that anticipation and inviting God into that anxiety by laying down an item or an article involved in our learning so we may ask a blessing and take it back up as we walk into the season. I love that these are on this ordinary time altar cloth that was dyed with flowers in the season of transfiguration. It gives us an imagination how these ordinary things can be transfigured and made to be charged with the grandeur of God. You can take up an ultimate disc, a baseball bat, some shoes, car keys, water bottles, signs and symbols, reminders of God's pledge to be with us. Wherever we go, the Spirit's work in us and all around us. The psalm that we just read is a beautiful reminder of this protecting presence of God that we can and that we must call on. God is our refuge. God is our rescuer. God is the one who listens to us. God is the one who saves. God is a rock when things feel unsteady or like they're sinking. Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase puts it, put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. Be a guest room where I can retreat. Maybe that really resonates this morning, that we need a space to retreat. In this short snippet from an ancient song of trust, we're reminded that while we walk into this season with anticipation and anxiety and everything in between, with great fear and with great trembling, there is much work to do, and God is doing so much work in us. We are being equipped and we are being given exactly what we need. For all the things we're excited to learn, for all the tasks that we need to complete, who has syllabus shock right now, today? It's a thing, it's okay. All of the expectations that we have for this time, some of us are under-expecting, some of us are accurately expecting, some of us are way unrealistic in our expectations, whether good or bad, that's okay. Those will start to come into focus. And all the formation that's going to occur, we hope that is positive formation into the image and likeness of Christ. But there are all sorts of malformations too that's going to happen just in this next 6 months. Intellectual, social, spiritual formations. God's Spirit is taking care of us. It's dangerous out there, and we will need protection and rest and repair, and that's what we're being offered. I want to bring a conversation partner into the psalm and into the season that I've found helpful. The goal is not really to push us towards any specific action or add something to our already full to-do list, but rather to kind of frame or maybe diagnose where we are in order to move us towards the kind of flourishing that God provides and desires. This is taken from a book called Strong and Weak. It looks something like that. If you can't see, there's like a little bird on top of that massive elephant by a guy named Andy Crouch. He sets up this matrix, four squares. There's always a right answer here, right? There's always two not-so-right answers, one really wrong answer. There are two axes. Moving up, you have more authority, which he defines as the capacity for meaningful action. And that's what you're capable of, how much authority you have. The other x-axis, math majors, yes, x-axis, is vulnerability. To have high vulnerability means to have a high exposure to meaningful risk, so to be more vulnerable or less. Maybe you come today and you can quickly map, you can pinpoint the place you find yourself this morning. Maybe it is quadrant three. That place that he says is a place of withdrawal. Maybe this is a place where we've cried out like the psalmist for help too much. We're tired of the vulnerability. We're exhausted from feeling like we've put ourselves out there, and it doesn't feel like we have much more to contribute. Doesn't feel like you're very well protected. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're coming off a season of great challenge. Maybe you are in a season of affliction. This is a place of withdrawal, and it can be experienced as defense, like setting up defense, or as rest. But stopping here without a capacity or agency to act is disappointing, and it is disempowering. Feeling like you have to guard against risk or for yourself or for those in your care can truly cut you off from some of the positive risks, the risky joys of community and neighborly connection. Maybe you're feeling that withdrawal. It's exhausting and it can be lonely. Maybe you come today and you're seeing yourself in one of the twin quadrants, suffering or exploiting. Quadrant two or quadrant four. These are kind of two sides of the same coin. It's authority without suffering, or it's suffering without authority. Crouch says four is the most seductive and dangerous, to feel power and not be vulnerable. Kind of feels like gaming the system. You kind of move around the world with as little risk as possible, and you kind of set your life up that way. You can kind of look around our world. You can look around our neighborhood and see and feel this dynamic played out in kind of more benign and also more grotesque ways. This like exploiting way of being out in this world like shows up in authoritarian leaders who make plans for other people that they never have to see. They never have to be physically or personally responsible for. Cutting Medicare programs or sending and equipping masked ICE agents out to target and terrorize and disappear people. This is like the logic of how drone warfare works, that you can blow something up with a joystick from an apartment halfway across the world. That is an exploitative way of having so much power and zero vulnerability. This also happens and can happen to each of us more subtly. There is an everyday exploitative logic of just taking and not giving. Taking and not giving. We're being sent out in this new season, some of us to new places, and it is tempting to try to take and not give, to try to maximize the amount of power that we have and minimize the amount of exposure that we have, of setting ourselves and our lives up on this imbalance of doing things from as far away as possible so that we're protected as much as possible, of rejecting mutuality in community. Sometimes we're tempted to enter a season like this of steeling ourselves against obligations. This is another plug for volunteering for Oak Kids. No, I'm just kidding. Whenever you're in a place and amongst a people, you have obligations to those people. Your school, your neighborhood, our church, our city, they're not for our consumption, but they are for the hard-fought creation of beloved community. And that requires so much risk, so much vulnerability and exposure, even just for a short amount of time. This involves a lot of the practices and habits and virtues that we do together each week. That's kind of the cure and the antidote against this sort of exploitative way of being in the world. Think about it. Every time we gather, we do things like listen. Even in our singing, we're also listening. We offer a sign of Christ's peace. We learn, even just with a small act and a small gesture, to be peacemakers. We sing, and hopefully that is hopeful sounds, harmonious sounds, sounds synced up with those around us. We learn to serve. We break bread together. We learn to make room, growing our lives in a hospitable shape. You can see how these small minor practices that are cumulative, we do them every week. We come to this place to be with these people, can counteract some of the exploitative logic of quadrant four. And you can kind of see, if you folded this in half, you can kind of see how quadrant two is kind of a reflection or another side of that coin, a photo negative maybe. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. Limited choices. Limited agency or options. You have your back against the wall and you can only muster some of the psalmist's cries for help and protection. Because you are exposed to exploitation and all of the things you've tried or feel like you can try are not working. It feels like you're just like trying to hold off a tsunami of distress and sorrow. Quadrant two, it feels very lonely, feels impossible, but this is where Jesus is in quadrant two. This is where Jesus is, and this is where we need to move towards to find Jesus, to be met by Christ. The psalmist says, "My God, free me from the grip of the wicked, the clutch of the bad and the bully. You keep me going when times are tough. You are my bedrock, God, since my childhood." The psalmist gives a hopeful glimpse that even your cries for help are powerful and are effective and are heard by the God who acts. Nothing is wasted, and God works on our behalf against the bad and the bully. Keep crying out and singing these psalms of remembrance and these songs of resistance, because, as Pauli says, hope is a song in a weary throat, and God delights in that singing. Okay, we got to the good place, quadrant three. This is where we want to be, this place of flourishing. This is at least the place we want to be moving towards. And I'll tell you, it is... I think the most challenging part of this is that quadrant one, this place of flourishing, is not the taking on vulnerability, the taking on risk and exposure, is not something we graduate from or move through. It is like characteristic. It is part and parcel of living lives of flourishing, that we must keep this sort of vulnerability, even as we come into places of authority, of power, of moving with intent in our little areas of the world. I really think the communion table and the potluck tables are places where we practice and experiment with this sort of mutuality, this sort of power, this sort of vulnerability. The dynamic between hosts, someone in power, and guest, someone who's vulnerable, is kind of fluid and squishy at these places. I'll spoil the punchline and let you know that when we're doing it right, we are both host and guest, and we are neither host and guest. We're at this table and at these tables, we are host, we are guest, and we are neither of those two, because Jesus is all of the above for us. Here's how this works. We are guests at Jesus' table. In a few minutes, you will be invited to come forward with empty and open hands to receive from God's grace. And that puts us at a place of immense vulnerability. We bring nothing to this table. We only receive. We approach with these empty hands after we've confessed sin and after we've stood in this deep and wide pool of faith. But in some ways, mysteriously, we're also host. I'll stand up here and Titus is going to help me, and we will dispense this mystery to you. We will invite you to a table that's not ours, but we will administer that table. We will continue to invite to that table, even though that table is not ours. We are host and we hold great authority as we bring something to share to our potluck tables. Every one of you that brought something, even if you just bring yourself, in some ways you are a host to that table. And that is, like, kind of scary. We have a lot of hosts, too many cooks in the kitchen, right? But we are also guests at that table, too, as we sidle up alongside someone that we may not have anything in common apart from Christ's presence with us. That's made the potluck table a really dynamic and beautiful place for Oak Church, and also a terrifying place for many of our guests. You can hold your amens to that, okay? It's okay. So many of us have come from places or have family and neighbors who experience church mostly as just this dispensing of some sort of spiritual truth, but not an invitation into this risky place of hospitality and welcome and forcing someone to lay themselves down and enter into a space of welcome. Potluck invites us into that every week. Trust me, friends, some potluck weeks are better than others. That's okay, too. That's what it means to enter into this space of vulnerability, this space of agency, where we're both the ones providing and welcoming and being provided for and being welcomed. Jesus is that one who is providing and welcoming. Jesus is that one who we meet in the surprising face of the other as we continue to make lives that are permeable and open and available to meet Jesus in the face of the stranger and the poor and the least of these. Jesus is the one in whose name we gather and pledges to be with us when two or more are gathered in that name. Jesus is a safe place for all of us who are experiencing vulnerability, whether that is forced vulnerability or chosen vulnerability. Jesus is the one who lifts up our heads and gives us dignity and authority as daughters and sons, as chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own. Jesus is the one who has integrated us into God's family. Some of us brought us back into that family, like the father running down the road welcoming the prodigal son from the far country. And it is Jesus' body, broken and poured out, Jesus' body, one body, many parts, that are a sign of health and flourishing in this place, even with great vulnerability and great power. So friends, in this coming season, we go out of here. We go out of here negotiating our power, negotiating our vulnerability. Friends, let's go out of here and be not afraid. Jesus is walking with us, and Jesus comes to us again and again. As we enter this season of anticipation, let's not forget that. Let's not leave or lose that vulnerability. As we enter this season of anxiety, let's not withdraw from the chance to walk with Christ and the confidence we have of that presence. And friends, let's body forth Christ's presence in this place and in all the places God is sending us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for walking with us wherever we go. Lord, let us match our steps to yours, neither running ahead of you nor lagging behind. Thanks for coming close to us. Help us in this season to know you better, to open ourselves up that we might be better known by you. Help us reach out and know that you have gone before us and you're taking care of us. Lord, we thank you for all these gifts. Give us eyes, give us ears, give us hearts and imaginations to receive them and to be generous and thankful for them. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.